this morning on the holy sacrifice of the Mass and regarding the invalidity of the Novus Ordo Mass. Now, the prophet Daniel foretold that the old law sacrifices would cease, being replaced by a sacrifice of the new covenant. This new sacrifice is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The prophet Daniel also foretold that an abomination would be set up in opposition against the true sacrifice of the Mass. Our Lord recalled the prophecy of Daniel, "And the sacrifice shall fail, and there shall be in the temple the abomination of desolation, and the desolation shall continue even to the consummation and to the end. And they shall defile the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the continual sacrifice, and they shall place there the abomination of desolation." The abomination of desolation would be erected even in the sanctuary of strength, that is, in the Vatican itself. The enemies of the church knew exactly what they were doing by instituting the new Mass. They firstly infiltrated into the ranks of the clergy in order to have their heretical Vatican II council. They would then be able to institute the new Mass. The full Latin name for the new Mass is Novus Ordo Missae, which translates as New Order of the Mass. This is why we commonly call it the new Mass. I recall in 1990, I was with the bishop at a traditional bookseller shop. One book in particular caught the bishop's attention. It had been printed in the early 1950s, but it was not at all a traditional book. It had been printed in St. John's University, which is close to St. Cloud, Minnesota. The title was Mass of the Future. The book had pictures of the future Novus Ordo Mass. Yes, already, clear back to the early 50s and even earlier, the modernists knew what they would accomplish. They already had their new Mass all planned out. How did the new Mass come about? Who was responsible for this new Mass? Is the consecration of the wine merely a change of one word? Or is it a whole new meaning? Our Lord's words in the consecration of the wine are, "For this is the chalice of my blood, of the new and eternal covenant, the mystery of faith, which shall be shed for you and for many unto the forgiveness of sins." The Novus Ordo Mass changes the word many to all. The false pope, Paul VI, implemented the new Mass in 1969. Already 6 years earlier, in January of 1963, a news article printed in Expository Times of Edinburgh told how the word many would be changed to all. The article gave the reason why. The change of many to all was made since the Vatican II Church would teach that all men are saved. Now, the average layperson would never read the teachings of Vatican II. The average layperson would not read how Vatican II praises the Hindus, Muslims, Jews, and all manner of other religions. Since the average layperson does not study the teachings of Vatican II, the modernist clergy contrived a devious way of teaching these heresies to the laity. This is why the Vatican II Church changed the Mass. For people will believe in the same way that they pray. The modernist clergy changed the wording of the new Mass in order to change how the faithful would believe. As the saying goes, the law of praying is the law of believing. Or as it is said in Latin, lex orandi, lex credendi. The Vatican II Church teaches that all religions are inspired by God and lead mankind to God. This is the heresy of false ecumenism. If all religions lead to God, the next logical step would be to organize a one-world unity of religions. One Vatican II priest told that everyone eventually goes to heaven. This is the heresy that all mankind will be saved. This heresy denies mortal sin, and it denies the existence of hell. This heresy has already been condemned even in the early church. There is a difference between saying that many people will go to heaven, but not all people will go to heaven. The change of one word is no insignificant change. The meaning of the new Mass has been changed. The new Mass is not a true Mass. The new Mass is invalid. The bread and wine remain nothing more than bread and wine. In receiving communion at the new Mass, the faithful do not receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. The Vatican II faithful receive nothing more than bread. The false Pope, Paul VI, made this change. And as the new Mass was translated into the various languages, he personally selected the equivalent word for all. The Vatican II Church recognizes one individual in particular as being an authority to justify changing the word many to all. This individual is Dr. Joachim Jeremiah. Let us consider what Dr. Joachim Jeremiah taught so that we will be able to explain why we cannot accept the new Mass. He was born in 1900. He is a non-Catholic professor who taught New Testament scripture studies at the University of Göttingen. His method of studying scripture denies faith. He does not believe that sacred scriptures are inspired. He merely looks upon the scriptures as a human writing. And so he interprets the scriptures based on nothing more than his own interpretation of language. His method of studying and interpreting the sacred scriptures was twice condemned by Pope St. Pius X in the Syllabus of Errors against the Modernists. Dr. Joachim Jeremiah comes up with some ridiculous interpretations of scriptures. For example, he claims that the early Christians commonly celebrated Mass without wine. He thereby claims that the early Christian community commonly did not consecrate wine at the Mass, but only consecrated bread. His reason for teaching this is that he claims that the early Christians were typically poor, and so they often did not have wine. And how does Dr. Jeremiah come up with this false notion? He misinterprets Christ's words. Our Lord commands the apostles, "This do ye, as often as you shall drink, for the commemoration of me." Dr. Jeremiah claims that since our Lord said, "As often as you shall drink," Christ implies that often the Christians would not be able to drink because they would not have wine. Supposedly, Christ was telling the apostles that they often would have Mass only with bread and not also with wine. Obviously, Dr. Jeremiah is misinterpreting Christ's words. Professor Jeremiah does not even believe that the bread and wine are changed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. He is very careful to not openly deny the doctrine of transubstantiation. But he denies this doctrine by a subtle deceit. There are numerous times in his writings when he directly says that our Lord's words at the Last Supper are not to be taken literally. He claims that our Lord only meant that the bread and wine merely represent his body and blood. Dr. Jeremiah even claims that St. Paul did not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Dr. Jeremiah even denies the divinity of Christ. He claims that Christ was not the Son of God, but only a man. Christ, therefore, did not die as the Redeemer, for he was not the Son of God. Rather, Christ died only as an innocent man. Professor Jeremiah further teaches that Christ did not know exactly how he would die, but that he expected to have a violent death. However, Christ knew exactly how he would die, for he foretold his death on the cross. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself." Now this, St. John explains, he said, signifying by what death he was to die. Professor Jeremiah continues misinterpreting our Lord's words. At the Last Supper, Christ said, "Do this for a commemoration of me." Professor Jeremiah claims that what our Lord meant was, "Do this so that God may remember me." Again, Professor Jeremiah claims that Christ was not God, but only a man, like any other man. Christ then did not die as the Son of God. He died merely as an innocent man. And Christ wanted his death to be remembered. Dr. Jeremiah claims that any innocent death has a certain atoning value in the eyes of God. According to Professor Jeremiah, Christ did not die as the Redeemer of all mankind. Christ did not die to atone for original sin or for the sins of all mankind. We know, however, that at the Last Supper, Christ instituted a continuing mystical renewal of his sacrificial death upon Calvary. But Professor Jeremiah claims that the Last Supper is merely a memorial by which Christ wanted to be remembered before God. We see that Professor Jeremiah teaches numerous heresies by his religious views and by his interpretation of the sacred scriptures. The heresies of Professor Jeremiah go against the teachings of the doctors and fathers of the church. Again, Pope St. Pius X twice condemned the method by which Professor Jeremiah interprets the scriptures. Pope St. Pius X called these heresies modernism. And so let us listen to his condemnation of the modernists, to hear them talk about their works on the sacred books. One would imagine that before them, nobody ever even glanced through the pages of scriptures. Whereas the truth is that a whole multitude of doctors, infinitely superior to them in genius, in erudition, in sanctity, have sifted them, have thanked God more and more the deeper they have gone into them for his divine bounty in having vouchsafed to speak thus to men. We have considered the errors of Professor Joachim Jeremiah in order to show that the new mass is invalid. We could say much more to prove the invalidity of the new mass. We need to know these things so that we can explain why we do not go along with the new mass. In being able to explain our position, we hope to bring others to return to the true mass. Long before Vatican II, the Church had very often and most clearly taught that the words "for all men" may not be used in the consecration of the wine. This one word does make a difference, as we reflected when the modernists say "for all men," they are saying that all men go to heaven. This heresy of false ecumenism claims that all religions are more or less good and praiseworthy, and that a person may be saved by any religion. But if all men are saved, why did Christ found one only church? If it doesn't matter what church someone belongs to, then Christ wasted his time. We adhere to the Tridentine Latin Mass not out of old-fashioned nostalgia. We adhere to the Tridentine Mass out of loyalty to Christ and firm adherence to our precious Catholic faith. This is the reason why we have only the Tridentine Latin Mass and not the Latin Mass along with the new Mass as the indult Catholic Church observes. This is why a traditional Catholic must never attend the Novus Ordo Mass, the new Mass, with active participation. To participate in the new Mass would be the same as participating in a non-Catholic service. The modern new Mass teaches the Vatican II faithful the heresy of false ecumenism. For the way people pray is the way they believe. Lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of praying is the law of believing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.